morning. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, go ahead and turn to Luke 17, but in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, the Bible says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good." This is something I read this verse. I don't even remember now when it was, but it was sometime back, and it was something that I'd never really considered or thought about. The commandments of God are good for us. God loves us, and he wants only good for us. And so the commandments that he has given us are for our good. We always say, you know, we always quote the verse that says that God works all things for the good of those who are his children. Well, all of his commandments are good for us. He has commanded us to confess of our sin, to repent of our sin, confess our sin and repent. And hey, that's good for us. When we do that, God forgives us. He frees us from the condemnation of eternal death and hell. He gives us a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Those are good things. As I thought about that this week, I remembered the story of the unforgiving servant. You remember that, don't you? He was unwilling to forgive a fellow servant. And so the Bible says that the king delivered him over to the tormentors until he would pay what he owed. Well, what he owed was forgiveness. So until he was willing to be forgiving, he was tormented. And to forgive other people is good for us. Because an unforgiving spirit it's like a cancer that lives inside of us, and it causes bitterness and it causes strife. I've even seen it cause physical problems for people who are unforgiving. So to forgive, to obey the commands of God, and one of his commands is to forgive, that's good for us. And then, of course, that means that thanksgiving, the giving of thanks, must be good for us, because the Bible is full of scripture, full of verses that tell us that we need to give thanks or be thankful people. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. I know you're going to know these verses, and that's okay. But it's Thanksgiving. I only get to do this once a year. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." In everything give thanks. Giving thanks is Christian. Psalm 140 verse 13 says, "Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence." Surely the righteous, that's Christians. Surely Christians will give thanks. Giving thanks is God exalting. Psalm 69:30 says, "I will praise the name of God with song and will magnify him with thanksgiving." Thanksgiving should be part of our worship. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." So when we come to worship, we should be in a thankful attitude, and we should give thanks to God every Sunday, not just Thanksgiving Sunday. Thanksgiving is to be part of our prayer life. Colossians 4:2 says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." There are lots of verses. I could go on and on for a long time, quoting and reading verses about thanksgiving and commands to give thanks. But I want you to listen to Psalm 92 verse 1. It says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High." That verse reminds us that giving thanks is a good thing to do, and it's good for us. With that in mind, I want to read a passage out of Luke chapter 17. I've used it before on Thanksgiving. I know some of you mark your Bibles and you're probably thinking, "Man, he's preached from this before." Sorry. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. "And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They had to lift up their voices from afar off because they could not approach Jesus because they were lepers. When he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. As I read that this week, I realized that this one guy who went, this Samaritan who went back to give thanks, showed us how that giving thanks is good for us. First of all, giving thanks helps us to establish our priorities. It's kind of, I hate to use the word funny because that's not really appropriate, but that it's kind of odd, I guess. Some people have looked at this one guy who went back to give thanks to Jesus, and they said, well, you know, I'm not sure he was obedient to God. I'm not sure he obeyed Jesus because Jesus said he had to go to the priest, show himself to the priest. Well, he did that. I mean, who's to say he didn't go to the priest after he came back to see Jesus? See? What he did, his giving of thanks, revealed his priorities, or maybe it even helped him to see his priority, and his priority was Jesus. Jesus was the one who had healed him. I'm sure he had tried doctors, he had tried medicine, no telling what he had done and tried to get rid of this disease of leprosy. It was a terminal disease. And not only did it isolate you from family and friends and society completely, but it would kill you if you weren't cured. It was going to kill you. So Jesus had done that for him, so he went back to Jesus first to give thanks. He went to the priest second to be obedient to the words of Jesus, but he showed his priority, that his priority was Jesus first by going back to give thanks. I thought about that. You know, we don't know how long any of these guys have been lepers. Could have been days, could have been months, could have been years. I'm sure all 10 of them didn't contract leprosy at the same time, so I'm sure it was different lengths of time. But however long it was, and for this one guy in particular, this Samaritan, however long it was, he was completely isolated from all society except for other lepers. I thought about that a little bit. You know, if you have to go to the hospital and be a patient in the hospital, it doesn't take very long to be in that hospital until you want to go home, right? I mean, nobody wants to stay a long time in the hospital. I'm sure all 10 of these guys, when they saw that they were healed, they all wanted to go home. They all wanted to go home and hug their wives and hug their kids and kiss them and touch them, have human contact. They had no human contact for however long they'd been sick. They probably wanted to go back to the synagogue. They wanted to go see the priest, but they wanted to go to the synagogue and participate in worship. They hadn't been able to do that for a long time. They probably wanted to go back to their jobs. You know, whatever it was that they hadn't been able to do for however long they hadn't been able to do it, that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to resume their normal life, whatever that was. And to delay that for even just a minute must have seemed like torture to them. But this guy, this one Samaritan, showed that his priority was Jesus because he put all of that off to come back to say thank you to Jesus. Now we know, as Christians in particular, we know that Jesus is supposed to be the priority of our lives, don't we? But I wonder if that's really the truth. Does the way we spend our time prove that Jesus is the priority of our life? Does the way that we use our talents prove that Jesus? Don't you hate this one? Does the way we spend our money prove now that Jesus is the priority of our lives. We're a little bit down in numbers this morning. I guess you probably realize that. I don't know why some of the people aren't here, but you know what? For some now, honestly, oh boy, they're going to hear this on the internet. I just realized that. For some, the priority was to stay in a warm bed as opposed to come and worship Jesus. Does the way we live our lives prove that Jesus is the priority of our lives? For this guy, it did. Amen. He first came to Jesus to say thank you. We need to examine our lives regularly, the way we live our lives, the things we say, the things we do, the places we go, to see if it proves that Jesus is the priority, and giving thanks helps us to establish our priorities. The next thing that it does for us is thanksgiving brings us to the feet of Jesus. In verse 16, we find that this guy that came back, that when he returned, he glorified God, and then the Bible tells us that he fell at the feet of Jesus to give him thanks. Now, the posture of being at someone's feet, bowing at someone's feet, or even in some cases just sitting at someone's feet, was a position of worship and submission. So this man came back to give thanks to Jesus, and as he gave thanks, it brought him to the feet of Jesus, to a place of worship and submission to Jesus. He realized that Jesus had given him his life back, literally. Jesus has given us all good things. Jesus came to forgive our sins. I know you know that. I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but sometimes we just need to kind of think about that a little bit. Jesus left heaven for me and for you. And he did that so that he could forgive us. He died for us because he loves us. He died for us so that our sins could be forgiven. He paid the price for our sin. He arose from the grave for us so that he could conquer death for us. All the good things that we have been given to us by Jesus. I wondered about the things, and in some cases, the people that we worship today. And I don't mean Christians, but I mean specifically the unsaved. You know, we worship, some worship the sports hero. I don't know if you pay too much attention to this, and I don't know if this has anything to do with anything, but it just came into my brain. There's a particular football player, a professional football player, that two or three years ago started one particular gesture. After he got the ball and ran with it, he started this one particular gesture. There's nothing bad about it, but now I've noticed that now in the college ranks, several of those guys now are doing that same gesture. And I'm sure out in the ranks of those who don't play sports, little boys all over the country, I'm sure at some time they're doing that one gesture because they idolize this football player. He's their hero. They idolize him. Listen, what's he done for them? He doesn't know their name. He doesn't know where they live. He doesn't care about them. If they happen to be in the same place as he is and they ask him for an autograph, he might stop for 5 seconds and give them an autograph, but that's it. He'll never even think about them again. He certainly has never died for them or risen from the grave for them, but Jesus has. Amen. We should worship. It just makes sense. We should worship Jesus. Listen to this. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from God above. Not some of them, not most of them, every single one of them. Saved or unsaved alike, whatever good gifts we receive, they're from God. At 1 Timothy 6:17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Everything we enjoy is from God. I always get tickled when I read that verse because it talks about those that are rich in this world. And in my mind, I think, well, I'm not rich. And I'm sure in some of your minds, you think, oh, well, that's not verses for me. I'm not rich. Did you know? Listen to this. Did you know? I started to ask you to raise your hand this morning, but I won't ask you to do that. If you have any money in any account anywhere in the world. Any amount, a penny. If you have any money in your pocket, in your wallet, in your purse, anything, if you have a penny, you are richer, better off than 90% of the world's population. Yesterday, Katie's birthday was last week, and yesterday we had a party for her, and one of the gifts she received was a little box with money in it. I have no idea how much money was in that box. But she is better off, richer, financially better off than 90% of the world's population. Can you imagine that? Now let me read that verse again. Charge them that are rich in this world. Hey, that's us. That they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, I'm getting where I like that verse more and more and more. Matthew 20:28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. John 10:27-28, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. John 14:16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. That's the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. That's another thing we could go on and on and on all morning long about all the things that God has given and that he gives to us. And when we give thanks, it's good for us because it brings us to the feet of the giver of all good things. It brings us to the feet of Jesus. It brings us to a position of worship and submission to Jesus Christ when we give thanks. And that's a good thing. And finally, thanksgiving is good for us because it reveals our faith. In verse 19, you remember the one guy that went back, the Samaritan that went back, Jesus, they had a conversation. And this is what Jesus said to him in verse 19. He said, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. That's really an interesting verse. Jesus, when he came back, Jesus saw his faith. His faith was revealed by his giving of thanks. The other nine were physically healed, but it seems like the other nine, at least in this case, did not experience a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Most of the time in Scripture, when Jesus healed someone physically, he healed them spiritually. That was part of the package. But it seems like maybe in this instant, that was different. Because when Jesus said, thy faith hath made thee whole, that word whole means literally thy faith hath saved you. So he came back and expressed faith in Jesus Christ by his giving of thanks. And his faith in Jesus Christ brought him salvation and a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Giving thanks is good for us. I want to ask you, Christian, are you demonstrating your faith by your thankfulness? Do we regularly go to God and give him thanks? Our giving of thanks reveals our faith to God. Our giving of thanks reveals our faith to ourselves. Our giving of thanks reveals our faith to the unsaved. I said that giving thanks was a Christian thing. It's a Christian characteristic. Ungratefulness is a characteristic of the unsaved. And so when the unsaved sees our thankfulness, it demonstrates our faith in Jesus Christ to them. It makes them see that, hey, those Christian people really are different. They're not just crazy. They're not just mean. They're not just bigoted. They're not just narrow-minded. Hey, those folks are different. They're loving. They're kind. They're grateful. We live in a society that has a sense of entitlement We have more. We have more than any generation before us. We have more than them. I see little kids. They can't be more than 7 or 8 years old walking down the street with a cell phone. I mean, come on. And yet we're ungrateful. The unsaved world in particular, we are ungrateful. Sometimes, unfortunately, even Christians are ungrateful when we should be giving thanks daily, regularly, frequently, all the time to God. In all things, we should give thanks for what He's done for us, and thanksgiving is good for us. Psalm 107, verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." Would you stand with me this morning? Sherry, would you come play a song of invitation? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Be as quiet as you can for just a moment. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Have you experienced personally the mercy of God? You can, because He wants to be merciful to you. He wants to forgive you of your sins. If you will confess that you're a sinner and ask Him to forgive you, He will show you His mercy and forgive your sins and give you a personal relationship with Him. Wouldn't you like to do that today? What a great time to become a child of God. You come, we'll share a place. Right where you are, you can be saved this morning. Wouldn't you like to be? I believe there's somebody here that would like to be saved today. Would you pray this prayer with me quietly? You don't have to say it out loud. You need to be sincere. You need to be honest with God. Would you just tell Him and say, "God, I confess to You I'm a sinner. And I ask You to forgive me of all of my sin. And I receive You as my Savior and my Lord." If you prayed that prayer, would you raise your hand this morning? Nobody's looking. I'll be the only one. Thank you. God bless you. Anybody else quickly this morning? You can do that anytime, anywhere. God is ever present. God is ever loving. Please soon receive Him as your Savior. Thank You, Father, for everything. In everything, in every part of our life, Lord, we want to give You thanks because every good gift and every perfect gift has come from You. Salvation comes from You. Eternal life comes from You. Heaven comes from You. Thank You, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you for coming this morning. I appreciate your attention. Please do come back tonight. I know it's cold, but listen, we're going to have lots of good food. And please stay and help us to get ready for that this evening, if you would, please. Susan, would you dismiss us, please?